Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Psychic Perspective. My name is Gregory Kent and I'll be your host for the next hour as we talk about the world of psychics, mediums, and paranormal happenings. We invite our listeners to log into the chat room and ask questions, or you can call the number on your screen and talk directly to us. The number is area code 347-945-7799. We are taking calls for online readings, so if you'd like to have a reading, please give us a call. We have a few subject areas we'd like to talk to you about this evening, but please feel free to ask questions in the chat room or call us directly about a specific question you might have. We will try our best to do what we can to answer your question. We're honored to have back on the show two gifted psychic mediums, the Reverend Janet M. Reynolds in Tampa, and Dinah Arnett in Fort McCoy. Welcome, ladies, back to the show.
Good evening, Gregory, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Janet. Thank you. Hey, Dinah, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
Janet, let's start with you. Can you give the listening audience a little background about yourself?
Oh, I can. Gregory, I am an ordained minister, so I am Reverend Janet M. Reynolds, and I have been studying for over 25 years, and I enhance my abilities through studying. I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient, which means my gut feelings, and I'm also certified spirit medium to where I listen to the other side. Talking to me.
Excellent. Dinah?
Gregory, I'm just a regular person that was just living my life till one night there was a knock on the door and there was a state trooper there and he told me my husband had been killed and my whole life went upside down and whatever course was being plotted for me at that time completely changed. And because of that, all of a sudden all my senses became alive. And I did not do a course like Janet where she studied for what she does. It just kind of awakened in me. And I don't know if I recommend that type of way, but everything that happened from after my husband passed away, I took it with a grain of salt until I began to understand it. If something appeared in front of me, I wasn't afraid of it, but I tried to figure out what it was. So I did a lot of reading. And there's a lot of books out there where people can read about other people's situations and things that have happened to them. So that is basically how I came into this situation of using my abilities. And now I try to help people just like Janet does.
Dinah, is your book still available for purchase?
Yeah, still on Amazon, Never Alone. And it tells about this simple little country girl living here in the state of Florida and that knock on the door and what it does to change your life. And I think a lot of people have had earth-shattering events that sort of awakened, or the gifts are already there, Gregory, and I'm sure Janet will attest to this. It's just sometimes it takes a little bit of a push, and mine was a shove. And I'm glad I didn't turn away. I'm glad I wasn't afraid of it. I'm glad that I did listen, I did learn, and I did take advantage of it, because that's kind of a wonderful opportunity to be able to see things and not be afraid of them and hear things. And not everyone might like that, but I kind of got used to it after a while.
Jana, what was your turning moment? Do you remember?
Oh, my turning moment was when I moved here in Florida, which was 30 years ago.
To the Tampa Bay Area?
Yes. I knew that I was a little bit different, and I knew that I could see and hear things, but I couldn't put my finger to it until I came down here, and that was when I met up with one of my mentors, or one of my teachers, and she showed me, so then I studied from there on out with it.
Janet, do you feel, being a spiritualist, that you have a different outlook on death now? Is that a fair question?
That's a good question. You know, Gregory, I don't think about death. I really don't. Where I want to go with this is I would like to say I really don't want to die. I want to be here, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to die. But it's not what I would like to do. And you know, we never know when we're going to cross over. And I just lost a friend 3 days ago, Tuesday. That was my friend for over 22 years, and we never knew. Her heart just stopped. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have a fear, I just don't want to yet. I have lots to do, I think.
You're not ready to make the transition.
No.
And we're not ready to let you go yet.
Oh, good. Thank you. So I'll hang around a little longer then, okay?
Now, Dinah, your father was a minister.
That's correct.
How was death talked about in your household or in the church?
Well, when you were dead, you were dead, and that's how it was. And, you know, you better get ready because you think you're going to go straight to hell or you're going to go straight to heaven. There was no in-between. And when I was 12 years old, I had an interesting vision. I started having visions very early on, and I saw a practical thing that happened to me. I got run over by a car with a bicycle, and I was able to get up. And then the second vision right on top of the first was I saw exactly how I would move from this side, the living, to the other side. And then I had a third vision that I'm not able to share because it's just a very personal. But I look at death so differently than the traditional person. I don't believe that I have to lay down and go on a slab or in a box. That is not how I'm going to do it. This is something I rarely share with people. I will actually teleport from this dimension to the next one and not mess around with all that stuff.
Now, I know your husband, Jerry, you've told him that if you just disappear in the middle of the night, not to worry.
Yeah, and he believes me. He says, please make sure there is witnesses because I don't want to go to this. But I really am not afraid. I don't think of death as death. I think of death as a big sleep that, you know, and that's exactly what sleep is. It is called a slice of death. And as Janet said, there is nothing to be afraid of. It's just like taking a deep breath. One minute your existence is here, and the next minute your existence is someplace else. And I believe that when spirit does come to us, as it does with Janet and yourself, they are kind of previewing that you know it's all right, but it'll be a wonderful place where you go because you don't have to eat and sleep and everything's beautiful. But I really am not afraid of it. I think it's an exciting time to be able to lose your burdens and move on.
Now, what did your father say? I know he just passed a couple of years ago. What was his reaction about your lifestyle?
You know, my father was very good about it because he knew that he couldn't understand me, but he also knew that I must know something because I'd gone through such great tragedy with a
We apologize for that. I guess we were dropped. Dinah, Janet, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Dinah's with us. Go ahead, Dinah.
You know what happened. Let me tell you what happens. And this happens many times when I'm on the phone, or it's happened to me in the past with radio shows, is I get so excited that I make the lines drop. When I am telling you, when I talk about the other side, and we were talking about my father, I don't know if the audience out there heard it, that he was so excited when he crossed over that he couldn't wait to come back and tell me, "Ooh, this is wonderful." And him being a preacher, he thought dead was dead. He didn't realize, well, I had told him for years that there was another existence. But when you start talking about this, the people from the other side, that energy is strong, and they come in and they start listening. Gregory, you know this better than anybody. And when we build that energy, look what happens. We make the phone lines drop.
So many times in our conversations here at the house, when we're talking to each other, the phone lines just go nuts when we're talking, and we really get into the spirit conversations. Is Janet back with us?
I am.
Hey, Janet.
I wanted to say to you was that my grandmother was the Indian, and she was the one that was born with the veil. But she always spoke about spirits and always told us about how, you know, chains go up the steps and how windows rattle. And was never afraid of a spirit. We were never afraid of spirits. That was a good thing.
That is a good thing to have, because I know growing up, having no one in my family to talk about it, and, you know, no one to say it's okay to hear spirit talk or to talk to spirit, people, you know, put fear in you. Mm-hmm. So it's never good to have that much fear growing up as a child.
And so that's something we didn't have. We weren't afraid.
Yeah. I know, Dinah, you had the fear put in you, correct?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? And I'm so glad that I did, because when I figured out you didn't have to have the fear, I had a back, you know, I had something, what would you say? I felt better about it.
Mm-hmm. We do have a caller on the line. Doug is having problems with the screening portion of the program. So I'm just going to ask the caller, how are you doing? Can you hear us? I was told there's a caller there.
Hello?
Someone there? Can you hear us? Hey, how are you?
Hi. How are you?
Doing great. What is your name?
My name is Lorraine.
Lorraine, do you have a question for us? Are you wanting Janet to do a reading for you?
If she could do a reading, I'd love that. And I'd like to also know how to connect with your loved ones.
Okay. Janet, do you want to talk to her first or do the reading first?
You want me to answer the question?
Oh, I can answer the question while you're tuning in if you'd like.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and answer the question, and then I can give her a minute reading, okay?
Okay, that'd be great. Lorraine, the best way, and Dinah, chime in at any time, is you have to mentally get ready. A lot of people say to meditate. Whatever meditation means to you, you know, just sitting quietly and listening. Sometimes you hear voices. Sometimes you'll hear something that you remember them by. The playing of music, the smelling of cigars or cigarettes, the smell of perfume like I do with my great-grandmother when I know she's around. So it really depends on what you're tuning into, and that is how you know who you're talking to, that familiarity and that relationship.
Let me ask you I've been having my phone ring at all hours of the day and night, and there's no number there.
That is interesting. I've had that happen a few times myself, or the cell phone is ringing and it's the cell phone calling itself, which doesn't make any sense to me. Dinah, what have you had happen?
Well, obviously, I've had actually phone calls where I picked up and talked to my husband who has passed away from on the other side, and that's always very interesting when you can connect that way. But, Lorraine, when you must be thinking about someone, or you've had someone pass in your life for all these things to start happening. You must have someone you're wanting to talk to or you're thinking about. And when that happens, they hear your call. I mean, you know, they hear you wanting to get a hold of them. And so they try to maneuver things. If your loved one loved birds, you'll actually all of a sudden see a bird in your house, or a bird will become very big in your world, because they will try to move anything to get your attention.
Well, if I pick up the phone, will I be able to talk to them or no?
That doesn't always happen. That was just a rare. There's a book that Scott Rogo wrote many years ago called Phone Calls from the Dead. It does happen. You never know when it's going to happen. A lot of times it's like Gregory said, you pick up the phone and there's no one there. So that was very unusual that I was able to make. It was in the middle of the night, so I didn't know it was going to happen. It just happened.
Okay.
Janet, you want to go ahead? We've got another caller, so if Janet wants to go ahead and give a quick reading, then Lorraine can do a follow-up.
Okay, Lorraine, the one thing that I feel for you at the present time is I feel a move coming, so they're telling me that that's a very good possibility for you. And then the other thing is I feel like there is changes in your work world, so are you working?
I'm trying to get a business off the ground in Reiki and angel reading.
Okay, well, the one thing that I want to say is that's all a possibility, and go by your gut feeling. Do you understand me?
Okay.
The key word to this is obedience, and that means to listen to what's going on around you and trust what you hear and feel, okay?
Okay.
It'll work. Stay strong.
Well, that's good, because I've been feeling sort of discouraged. Now, with this move, you see me moving, you mean my home?
There's a move around you. It can very well be your home. I want to say your home, so I am going to stick to that, yes.
Do you see me where I'm moving? Because it's funny you say that. My husband lost his job, and we've been trying to modify our mortgage, like, for the last year, and they were going to foreclose on us, and I was able to get a forbearance plan together, and we're up there with this whole scenario.
Okay, Lorraine, I'm going to say this to you. There's a possibility of a move out of the state, so I'm just going to give you that message. And then what I'm going to say to you is that it's going to be for the best, so just know that, okay? All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you for calling, Lorraine. You can always come to Florida. Let us go to the area code 619, a caller from 619, area code. California, are you there? Anyone from California?
Hello?
Hey, how are you doing? San Francisco area. Is that you?
No.
Oh, go ahead then. What is your first name?
It's Treva.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Do you have a question that you'd like to ask us, or did you would like to have a reading from Janet?
No, just a reading.
Okay. Janet?
Treva, are you calling from California, sweetheart?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Say that again, please.
From San Diego.
Oh, San Diego, California.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart. One of the things that I feel for you at the present time is that you're always on the go. You're not focused, sweetheart. You need to balance a little bit more. And are you in school at the present time?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, I'm going to give you a word. I want to say to you that there's something about education. There's
mm-hmm.
something about education. And are you thinking to go back to school?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want you to know that that's a possibility, okay?
Okay.
That's something. And is there anything about medicine, medical, or health that you want to learn or that you know or that you're involved in at the present?
No, I was going to get into pharmacy.
Well, that's medical. That's health, sweetheart. Medicine, medical, health.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that answers it right there. Okay, well, you're on the right path if that's what you're thinking to do.
Uh-huh.
So continue, but the thing that is important here is that you need to focus, okay? You need to stay balanced.
Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Not easy, is it?
No.
No, life is it's called challenge, okay? Life is a challenge, but that's where experience comes in at, okay? So stay strong also, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling.
Okay,
Dinah, I've got a question for you. Bye-bye. Danny, you ready for this question?
I'm ready.
Why can we not, or why did we not think of bottling ghosts and selling them on the internet?
You know, if it was so simple, we'd all be rich, right?
But they got, I think they got thousands of dollars for it.
Oh,
they
you mean
actually,
on eBay?
I think it was eBay or one of those online where they bottled a ghost and sold it.
I tell you, we just missed the boat, didn't we? We just missed the boat.
You're just kidding, right, Gregory?
No, I actually heard that on the news.
Oh, okay.
That someone on eBay bottled two ghosts and sold it. I don't know if I'm assuming it's true.
Oh, okay. Is that like genie in the bottle?
I guess, and, you know, two ghosts for a couple of thousand dollars. I mean, I could do that all day, bottle ghosts and sell them.
I think I'd have to think about that, Gregory.
Okay, here's the question. Everyone wants to know. I just know all the listeners are wanting to ask this question. As psychics and mediums as we are, why can't we get the winning lottery numbers? What's up with that?
You have to believe that you can win.
I do believe. Twice a week, I believe I can
win. And, well, you will win. You just continue to believe, okay?
But why can't I get the numbers psychically and win?
Well, spirit will give us lots of numbers, but that doesn't make that. It's the winning number. I feel that in order to win a lottery or to win tickets, I feel you have to really believe that you can win, and that's how you win.
So do you visualize you've already won and put the energy out there?
You can do that, yes. Yes, visualize that you already won.
Okay.
I would say yes to that.
Dinah, what do you think?
Gregory, you know what? The very first lottery winner here in Florida, in the state of Florida, was actually a man who said he was his daughter had died and left him the lottery ticket. She had left it in the side of her car, and in a dream she came to him and said, and that's when the lottery was only $1 million at the time, and he went and found that ticket, and he did win $1 million. So I believe that we do get messages about things like the lottery, but I tell you, we don't listen. You want the numbers when you're ready, but it doesn't happen that way. It happens when you're not really ready. The number, like Janet said, the numbers are swirling all around you. For example, one day I knew I was going to win the lottery. I went out and collected six numbers from six different odd random sources, and every single one of those numbers were one number off. So instead of a one, it was a two. So obviously, like Janet said, I believed I was going to win, but maybe I wasn't ready to win. And I think it has a lot to do with it as well. Are you really ready for that money?
I am ready. I am ready. I am ready.
Uh-huh. But I do believe that in other realities we have, you know, they always talk about alternate realities. I'm sure in another reality you have won the lottery.
Do you think I'm happy?
No. No, I sure. I think sometimes we think money will make it all go away, but it doesn't. Happiness is really when you look yourself in the mirror and really you're in love with the person who you are. It's not about money. It's about really liking who's in that mirror.
You're absolutely right. You have to love yourself. I agree. Janet, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. There is someone in the chat room who cannot call in, but they would like to ask two questions.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to tune in? I believe is it Raven? R-E-A-V-E-N.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're on the line now. You did call in.
She keeps calling an 800. Are they calling my house?
Are you there, Raven? I'm seeing where they are on the line. Raven, are you there?
Yep.
347 number. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. How are you doing? Am I pronouncing your name right?
Yeah, definitely right.
Okay. So yeah. You were gonna ask Janet about love and career.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, love and career. I mean, that's like the most common and I guess controversial topic for everybody these days, but I'm guessing like my career, I guess I'll start off with, I guess I'm a musician, and I want to know, you know, if you see anything positive happening, I don't know what you need from me, like birthday or something.
All right, you're not working at the present time?
No, I am working.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you thinking to do your own business?
Yeah.
Are you wanting to do your own business?
Not working for it, but I would like to start one.
Okay. All right. So then let me say this to you. I feel that when it comes to doing your own thing. I feel that's what that's about, that that's something that you need to really consider doing. And then I would say to you to start off part-time, and especially if you're holding a job in the day, and then I would say work up to it, and yes, you can do it. And do you have anything to do with photography?
No. Well, kind of like art. I write a lot, but no photography. But that was a career choice that I did. You know, I also was interested in.
I can hardly hear you.
I said, well, I have nothing to do with photography. I'm more of like a songwriter. I write a lot of music, and I do a little singing. So I'm thinking that, you know, maybe, I don't know, recording artists or some type of business or behind the scenes or both. That's really my passion.
Okay, then let me do it for you this way, because there's something about photography, because I heard the word, and if it isn't now, it's something coming, and it might very well have to do with what you're attempting to do as far as writing and music is concerned. Okay, so just, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. But
well, maybe
you're
gonna be taking pictures of me.
Well, you know, you never know. That's why I just say hold on to the word, or just hold on to that, and let's see what happens, because I heard it pretty clear, so I'm just going to give that to you and tell you. But with what it is that you want to do, apply, you know, start doing it, and do it on a part-time basis until it gets to where you want to go. I feel you can do it, yes. And have you written 2 songs already?
Oh, yeah, actually, that's so funny you said that. I just wrote 2 songs, like, in, like, 15 minutes, like, a couple months ago. And I've been writing a lot.
Okay, well, the 2 that you've written, I would say to you to, I want to say 1 out of 2, so I'm going to tell you 1 is really good, so go research where to go and how to do it.
Okay. All right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does.
You didn't answer about his, his love life.
Oh, see, he got good memory. Well, see, well, this is going to be a funny part of the show, because my love life is...
Okay.
I'll write about love, but I can't find it.
Well, what is that song, All the Wrong Places? You're going to all the wrong places?
All the wrong places. I think that's what it is. I just attract
that. Yes, that's what it is. I'm going to say this to you. I do feel a relationship coming to you, but it is definitely not now. And the other thing that I want to say to you, it has a lot to do with trust.
Oh, yeah.
I feel you meet a lot of people. I feel you meet a lot of people. I really do. And I do feel that there are people in your life that care. You're just not seeing it.
Yeah. Well, there was one particular issue. There was one particular issue like a while back, and the person kind of left me. But it was like kind of a short thing, kind of a, you know, whatever. I don't want to say it on radio. But, you know, and then I kind of caught feelings. So, but I think that they did too. But then, you know, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol, and lying and deception and drugs again. So it was kind of like a heavy situation.
But that's not really where you want to be. So I'm just going to give you the word trust and say to you to, when you do meet someone else, you need to learn to trust, okay? And let go of old stuff. Let go of old stuff. You don't find it easy to let go of the past.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still bugging out on this one situation with this one person that just won't let go, and it's all the way back in like October till now. So,
okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give you 1 more word, okay? The word's forgiveness.
Okay.
So think about that. Let go of the past and let's see what happens, okay?
All right. Well, do you see that person like, actually coming back in my life?
I'm going to say to you that the possibility is there, but then what we want to do is say, is that really what you want?
That's true.
I know.
Well,
This probably going to be one of those tough situations.
Well, it would be a lot of work, let me say that to you. So give it all a lot of thought, okay?
Oh, man. All right. Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great evening.
All right, you too, buddy.
Thanks. We are going to Virginia. Low caller, Virginia.
Hello. Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I have a question for, the whole panel. Anyone can answer this, or I hope they can answer it. What happens when spirit contacts you and wants you to give a message to somebody, but that person hasn't asked you for that? You know,
mm-hmm.
like the person hasn't come to you and say, I'd like you to make contact. So how do you handle that? Because I've seen in the past certain people come up and unload a lot of stuff onto somebody that wasn't ready for it and wasn't asking
That's
for
a good
it.
One.
So,
you know, that's where you know, the ethics come in. Dinah, you start off, and I'll follow. Go ahead.
You know, you're exactly right, Gregory. That's when just because you get the message, you don't want to all of a sudden just get in someone's face and say, hey, this is how it is. But it
mm-hmm.
depends on how that message, how severe the information is. If it's something that would help that person or place them or the message would give them a warning, there must be a way to deliver it in a subtle way that still gets the message there but doesn't get in their face. And like you said, it's an ethical thing. And if they didn't ask for it, and of course some people don't ask for it. Sometimes when I'm walking or in a restaurant, it just hits you in the face. All of a sudden, here's a message. You just can't walk up to a stranger and say, here, I got a message for you. I've had people give me messages and just drop it on you like that, and you're like, whoa. So I've been on the receiving end, too, and so I don't really enjoy it. But I don't mind if it's wrapped up in a different kind of packaging and done in a subtle way. And it can be done, John. Messages can be delivered in a friendly way. If you really believe in your heart, you need to deliver it.
Absolutely. You just need to find the avenue to do that.
You know, my
shouldn't he maybe ask permission also if they would like to hear what he knows?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm saying, look for the avenue, look for an opening, and if they are receptive, go ahead and give them the information. If they're not receptive, then you just have to become disinterested until they are, right?
Yes.
Okay. I just know that
some
people,
they
have a belief system, and if you come to them mm-hmm. and, you know, even doing it delicately could, you know, essentially create a crisis for them. You know, and I just, you know, again, you know, for me, it's like it's one thing when you know that someone has a certain belief system, or if someone comes to you and asks your assistance. But, you know, one of you were saying that, you know, having someone come up to you and drop a lot of information, not liking that, and you're already, like, basically in a different mindset because you have the belief system of spirit, and for you that's part of your world. For other people, that's not part of their world. So, you know what I'm saying? I appreciate your response.
You have to be very careful. I mean, they're in a belief system where those belief systems that don't agree with speech, they're not going to be information. So we look on that, John. Best of luck on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, well, thank you.
Dinah, I've got a question. Thanks for calling in. Did we answer your question?
You did. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks for calling in. Janet, are you there?
I'm here.
Am I the only one on the air?
No, I am here too.
No, I'm still here, right? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Everyone.
Huh?
We're all here.
Okay, there must be a delay. There must be a delay.
There's a storm hitting
now. Yeah, we can hear you. Janet, talk about, we can hear you. The muscle, people can't, how you're networking, being a psychic, into your business meetings that you have three days a week.
Okay. I go to networking Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursday mornings sometimes, but not every Thursday. And it is a group of people from different businesses. We all meet. It's called FNI, Free Networking Incorporated is one of them. And I am trying to create events to where I can come to people's homes and do house parties. And I do seances. So when I'm at the networking, I do stand up. We have to tell our name and what our line of work is. And I do stand up and say who I am. And I always say I am the psychic of the day. And then I explain that I'm also a certified spirit medium. And I explain to them how I can help them in their business world by giving them insight to what is going on.
So you use the angle as I can help you in your business world or business aspect of your life for your avenue in.
Exactly, because I ran a business for 25 years, and then Blue Feather Heaven is my guide, and between my experience and his words, I can help them with a lot of issues that they're having in the work world.
So that's a lot smarter way of doing it than to stand up there and say, oh, I see your grandmother standing next to you, when they might be more receptive to you saying, hey, I can help you, you know, make more money in your business.
Well, Gregory, when you're at those meetings, you have all walks of life, so you really can't stand up there and say, I see your grandmother, because some of the individuals, the business people that are there do believe in it, and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm. Some of them might be believers, but they don't want other people to know they're believers.
That's another thing, and they could get offended. So I just mm-hmm. try to keep it in a business aspect. And I've done quite a few readings for the people in the networking. And this Saturday, there's going to be a house event to where a lot of the networking people will be there, and I'll be doing readings for them.
Oh, okay. I'm watching the chat room on Blog Talk, and someone had asked a question about when spirit puts objects in your way, actually moving the objects and putting them in front of you. Is that necessarily a bad thing? What do you think, Diana? You had a lot of furniture moved when Patrick passed away.
Oh, I sure did. And you know, it's not a bad thing. It's an attention-getting thing. They're either saying you've got to slow down and move around this object or go a different direction. But also part of that furniture moving, we're literally talking about furniture moving, a chair in front of you or a table or whatever. You're helping to create that as well, because when spirit comes into that room, the energy heightens. And if you're receptive, you add to that energy. So you're also able to, it's a little telekinesis, you're able to move things as well. Like in that movie where the penny moved. What was that movie that we all watched, and they moved the penny underneath the ghost? That little
uh-huh.
penny. Right. We do have that gift, and when we need to change our path, go a different direction, I guarantee you something is going to move or rattle around in your home or your environment. It's kind of like when you the phone rings and you say, oh, I was just thinking about you, and it was a good friend of yours. No different with your furniture. I was just thinking about movement, and movement happened in your house. But now, let's talk about it in a different light. Let's say you live in a haunted house. You know the house is haunted, and you know there's something in there that doesn't feel really good. Now, we're talking about a whole different ball game. We're talking about that it's not a good thing that there is movement, that shows that energy that may not be a good energy is causing things to happen. So it just depends. It's one of those you have to kind of know more about the situation. That was just a blank explanation, but if I knew more, I could give a better definitive answer.
Janet, other than when we've gotten together to do the table tipping, what other type of furniture has moved in your house?
Gregory, do you know, that was a good question. When my grandmother passed over, I had a mirror on my wall that was on 100-pound weights, and the mirror weighs about 45 pounds. I want you to know that mirror slid off my wall, and it never broke.
Really?
Yes, and it slid off the wall the morning that my grandmother passed over.
Mm-hmm.
So, I went home to the funeral, and when I came back, a picture had fallen in the bathroom, and it was in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened also.
Excellent.
Why do you think that
wonder,
one?
Go ahead,
that,
Dinah.
Why was that one broken, you wonder?
I don't know. I just know that the mirror never broke as heavy as it was. And I just know that when I came home from the funeral and went in the bathroom, and it was falling on the floor. It was in pieces.
Another one.
That was a picture that fell. And I called my aunt, and I told my aunt that my grandmother had broke the picture. And she told me not to worry about it. And I was trying to tell her that Mama was in the house, and she just told me go to sleep, go to bed, not to worry. See, because she didn't have any fear. And I did go to bed, but I put my daughter in the bed with me, and I kept all the lights on in the house because I didn't want my grandmother to come. I didn't want to see her. That was so funny. That was a nice memory, Gregory. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I remember my great-grandmother, God rest her soul, every Saturday morning, her and my grandmother would go out shopping. And when they would come home, I'd always hide behind the door. And when she'd come through the door, I'd scare her. I always got the biggest kick out of doing that. Now that she's on the other side, I say, please don't come through and scare me behind the door. Please don't.
Paybacks are not so much fun, are they?
From the spirit.
You know, Gregory, another thing that they'll do sometimes, if you're a book reader, you'll find that a page of a book will be turned, or a book will just jump off the shelf when they need to give you a message. Have you ever had that happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's remarkable how that does happen.
And it's fun.
Go ahead.
Remember when we were doing the table tipping and we used a book, a hymnal, and whenever they wanted to give us a message, they'd pick out they'd give us like 348 or whatever was the number, and we would open that hymnal to that exact song, and it was the message for that person. It was just right on. It was
right.
It was kind of neat and just a nice way to get a quick message.
Absolutely. John has a question in the chat room. Excellent question, John. The difference between an earthbound spirit and a spirit who's actually crossed over to the light and has come back. Janet, with your dealings with the spirit, do you find a different vibration with the two? Or can you tell who has not gone over?
No, I've not experienced that part, Greg. I've not. So I only have experienced, you know, the energies of the ones that are on the other side. So maybe you can answer that question.
So when you say the other side, you mean theoretically they've already gone to the light?
Yes. Yes, they're already there.
So when you contact the spirits who've gone to the other side, they've gone to the light, you don't feel they're coming back to the earth side to talk to you? And I don't know the answer how you do your reading, so that's why I'm asking.
Let me do it this way. Okay. Okay. I don't ask for them to come in. I just see them when they come in. Does that answer your question? I get an image, and then they'll tell me how they are built, or they'll give me something about themselves, like they'll say they're somewhat tall, which means 5'8" to 6 feet, okay? Or sometimes they'll even tell me they're 5'7". But in my experience, they're already over there. They're not hung up anywhere. They're there.
Okay. With my experience, those who we will call earthbound, I would feel more of an anxious feeling around them. You know, that anxious feeling of being still earthbound and have never made the transition over. Okay.
Okay.
So if I'm doing a reading and I feel that spirit energy is very anxious or antsy, I would want to say to the person, you know, this spirit's never crossed over. There's some unfinished work they have to do. They're not ready to make the transition, you know, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
Dinah, what do you think?
No, I agree with you, Gregory. When we moved into this new home a few years ago, it's a two-story house, and there was a little boy here that every time I would get ready to go down the stairs, I would feel him grabbing me and wanting to push me down the stairs. And but that's not what it was all about. He was earthbound, and sometimes I would wake up and I would hear the old-fashioned slinky because I have wooden stairs going down. And all the child wanted was me to find his slinky. And literally out in the front yard, I eventually found part of his slinky. And once I found his slinky, it was just that one little thing that sent him to where he needed to be. But you do feel a difference. It's a heaviness. It's actually, when they touch you, it feels just like a real touch. When I come in contact to that. But I've never come into contact with someone that was an evil type. It was more, just like you said, someone that needed a little bit of guidance. And it's a simple thing, like to find the child's toy and move it across, or a word of encouragement, or pointing the way. You know, for instance, when 9/11 happened, we all know so many of us were called into spirit rescue work in the middle of the night. We didn't know it, but all of a sudden we found ourselves helping all those people that suddenly found themselves earthbound because it happened so quickly. And there was a heaviness. The word antsy is good, but it's also a heaviness that I found that, and I don't want to use the word sadness, but it was like they were lost. It was like they were asking for directions. And I think that's why they come to some of us, is how do you get to where you got to go? It's not so much, Mama thought when you died there was actually going to be a signpost that said this way to heaven, this way to hell. And when she got over there, it really didn't happen that way. It was more an emotional, you just sort of fell into it. And I think that's what happens with people who get stuck. It's kind of emotionally point the way. It's kind of like a love situation. You expand your heart, show them that love and light, and they take up. And a person of light will go to the light if you give them light.
Absolutely. In my reality, in my world, there is no evil. There is nothing demonic in my reality and in my world. So when I am doing readings, I don't see any of that. Janet, I know we talked last night. You screen all of that out, correct?
That is correct. Blue Feather, being the gatekeeper doesn't allow it. And it's like we have a rule. It's not allowed. So that does not come about for me. I don't. I only get the good.
Dinah, have you come across any evil?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many years ago, I picked up the phone, and it was a call. I don't want to call it the devil, but it was just the words of that evil situation left my blood cold. And you talk about catching you off guard. I was never caught off guard again. But it was like Patrick was showing me, he said, here, you've learned all these other good things, and I've showed you these other things. Let me just show you what else could happen. And I was glad it happened, but I'll never forget that feeling. You knew you were in a bad place, and it was just a simple thought of calling all angels, you know that song, and putting that light around you, and it dispelled. But if you got caught in it, it could have trapped you. But, you know, I knew what to do, thankfully.
What do you think would have happened if you would have maybe fell into it for a little while?
I think that when something like that happens, you get into a dark place, and you know you could fall into depression, you could fall into anything, maybe a drinking problem, drug problem, something of this nature, where that you're unable to be in control. But a lot of us are always in control. We kind of control our environments, control our situations, And because we've all kind of watched out for ourselves, you know, there I was after my husband was killed. There was no one there to pick up the pieces but me. And so I know how to take care of myself in a difficult situation, and you learn. And I think also that it applies to reality. If you know how to take care of yourself with the spirit world, you also can take care of yourself in real life. You're not going to call in negative situations or evil situations or put yourself in a bad situation. It kind of works both ways.
Excellent point. We probably have less than two minutes left. Those of you who are listening, please remember to go to paranexus.org and check us out there. A lot of information on doing investigations. A lot of information's there. Please consider becoming a member. We also do web hosting. You can buy your domains through us, all that fun stuff. Janet, do you have any words of wisdom as we are getting to the end of this?
Oh, wow. I wasn't prepared for that. I could just say stay in the light. Stay in the light.
Dinah?
Just always remember when it gets bad, the tough get going, and I think that's what's important. Don't try to solve all your problems in one whack. Do it a little bit at a time, and the sun will shine for you.
There's always the ray of sunshine, isn't there? No matter
there
how
sure
dark
is.
It is.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely. I do want to thank Dinah and Janet for coming on this evening. We'll be back next month on the 15th. I don't know who will be on next month, but we'll certainly have the show going on again. And we do thank you so much for being part of the show. And you have our web addresses up on the chat. Please feel free to give us a email, let us know how we're doing, and if there's anything you'd like us to do on the show, never hesitate to ask. That's about it for this evening. Thanks, Doug. You're out there somewhere listening, and I do appreciate everything you do to help us get this going. And like I said, I'm Gregory Kent, and this is Psychic Perspective, part of the Paranexus group, and have a great evening. Until we talk again, God bless.
Good night.
Good night.